You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 5 June. Laurie Anderson was born today in 1947. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Kay Malefi from Tribe South Africa, the RCL unbundling of Rainbow, and Sasol. Sasol's a weird one. Everyone out there says it's a great buy, except for the problem that it keeps on going down. I'm keen to see what Kia has to say. Caroline Naylor-Wren from 10X Investment. So the two-pot retirement system was signed into law by the president. The what, the when, the hows, and the whys, or perhaps why not. And then we're chatting with Westbank. Bleak vehicle sales for May. Volumes are down 6% so far year-to-date compared to last year. We shouldn't probably be massively surprised. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb, Livestock Wealth and its investors waiting on the FSCA. It remains adamant the regulator is treating it unfairly. Business day economy set to pick up pace after dismal first quarter. First quarter came in at minus 0.1, but no load shedding so far in Q2, so maybe we can have a better second quarter. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.15%, NASDAQ up 0.3%. The East is mostly green. Sydney up 0.5%. Tokyo down 0.8%. Hong Kong up 0.3% and Tencent 2% higher. Commodities red. Gold 2,355. Brent 77.58. Platinum 998 and palladium 930. The Rand is 18.69. Bitcoin 70,900. Top photo opening call at green open 215 points or 0.3% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Kay Malefi from Tribe South Africa. Kay, appreciate the early morning time. RCL announced yesterday the unbundling of Rainbow. The stock up 5%. Fun fact is that Rainbow got delisted from the JSE back in June 2007. I gotta say, maybe I get why RCL shareholders are excited. They don't want Rainbow anymore. But I'm not sure as an investor I necessarily want to chicken stock either. Your take, is there value or opportunity here?
Morning, Simon. Yeah, so look, that 5% jump on the news definitely reflects positive market sentiment. I think it suggests investor confidence in the potential of both RCL's focused business and Rainbow as a standalone entity. Interestingly, the unbundling marks a return to Rainbow's origins.
Yeah.
So Rainbow was originally a separate company listed on the JSE before becoming part of RCL Foods through acquisitions, you know. But I think it's a bold strategic move with the potential to unlock significant value for both companies. Operating as separate entities allows for sharper focus. You know, RCL can concentrate on optimizing its broader food portfolio, potentially streamlining operations and exploring new avenues for growth, while Rainbow can leverage its poultry expertise even more effectively. You know, so I think this independent status opens up opportunities to attract targeted investments and pursue strategic acquisitions, potentially accelerating its expansion plans. Though it is worth mentioning that navigating the current economic climate will be crucial for both entities. You know, while the long-term outlook appears promising, consumer spending remains a short-term concern. You know, so RCL's ability to adapt its broader food offerings to changing consumer preferences will be key to their success. And while Rainbow, on the other hand, will need to ensure efficient resource allocation and maintain its cost effectiveness to remain competitive in the market.
Yeah, I mean, I take your point. It's around, I suppose, that focus, and each can get on with what they do best in a sense. And it is weird, they left the market, they come back to the market. I suppose it's good for the JSE. They've got another listing. One that has not been fun, Sasol. I think I've actually chatted to you about Sasol before. Every so often, it sort of rears its head where we're going back to, I need to quickly, back in April, it had a bit of a run to 170. Everyone seems to like it, except that everyone also seems to be selling it. We've got oil under pressure right now after the OPEC Plus meeting on the weekend. I mean, your take on Sasol, Is there opportunity here? Is there value? Is this something that, like I'm doing, it's best just watched from the sidelines?
Oh, Sasol, I honestly don't know what's going on with Sasol, Simon. Look, there are some reasons to believe there might be value, but there are also significant risks to consider. On the surface, the share price decline paints a concerning picture. I mean, it's been stuck in a downtrend channel for quite some time, with rallies fizzling out, you know, and technically this suggests a prevailing downtrend that needs strong buying pressure to reverse. And I mean, in Sasol's defense, the company experienced challenges in its mining and Secunda operations, which contributed to a downward revision in volume expectations. And additionally, subdued prices across the chemical sector, you know, that are fueled by global economic conditions and weakened demand in key markets like China and Europe, you know, which further dampened investor sentiments. And all of this can take quite a bit of time to come back from, you know. However, there is a potential silver lining. The lower trend line could be acting as a strong support, making the stock look cheap on other metrics. Value investors who seek bargains might be drawn to this, you know. Additionally, the high dividend yield of 9% is attractive for income-focused investors. So to answer your question of whether or not there's value, potentially, but with a big caveat. For now, the technical picture remains bearish and a sustained turnaround hinges on breaking the downtrend.
Yeah, I take your point. And I mean, to me, it's a case of I'd rather wait for it to be going up rather than. I mean, folks have been catching knives here since 250 Rand. And so far, all that's happened is we've been losing fingers. We leave it there. Kemalefe, Tribe South Africa, appreciate the early morning.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting now with Caroline Aylor-Wren, 10X Investments COO. Caroline, appreciate the early morning. Our president has been signing bills left, right and centre. One of them is the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill. This is ultimately for the implementation of the two-pot retirement system, which will kick in, if I'm correct, on 1st of September, so just a couple of months away.
Yes, good morning, Simon. President Ramaphosa has signed the bill, which means the two-pot retirement system is coming, and the current implementation date is the 1st of September, so we all need to be ready.
I want to come to the ready in a moment. What this essentially means is that, so of contributions I have made up until 1st of September, subject to some formulas, I could potentially draw 30,000 Rand. And thereafter, contributions, a third of it will go into a savings pot, which would be available to me with the caveat that any money I take out is added to my income and taxed accordingly.
That's right. So every monthly contribution that you pay into your pension from the 1st of September will be split in the way you've just described. So one third will go into the savings pot and two thirds will be in a retirement pot that you can't touch until you reach retirement age.
And that is the key point, because this was a pandemic idea where obviously people were losing jobs and it was crisis mode. But generally, there's the view that some folks sort of quit jobs to access your retirement savings. You won't be able to do that anymore. You would literally need to dip into it.
Yeah, as a pension provider, we've definitely seen that in the past where people resign and they were allowed to withdraw all of their savings money for retirement. So this new two-pot system is a step in the right direction, and it will help in the long term for South Africans to be able to retire more comfortably. But it has got a practical view of mitigating the short-term economic strain where people see it.
Yeah, and in of itself, not necessarily a bad thing. That third pot that goes into the savings pot, would you as a pension fund administrator, I mean, would that literally be a sort of cash or near cash investment, or would that still potentially be? Because my thinking there is then, you know, cash is usually a bit more of a boring investment in terms of return, especially for those with a decade plus a timeline.
That will just be different for each pension company that you deal with. Mm. Certainly here at 10X, we've decided that it's not a good idea to put it into cash or a low growth fund. We would encourage everybody to keep it in a high growth fund that is meant to grow over the long term. So not to see this as a bank account, but to see this as still part of your long-term retirement money. The difference is you may be able to access it in a dire financial situation, and it can be disinvested within a few days. Mm-hmm. But certainly not to leave it in a low growth portfolio.
And you make the point there, a dire situation. In an ideal world, we would never touch our retirement savings until retirement. I suppose, you know, sometimes life comes at curveballs, but you know, this is not something for a holiday or something. This really needs to be a dire, because the implications of taking the money out, you're losing not just that money, but the growth over the many years and many decades until retirement.
Absolutely. Correct. I mean, we would say if it isn't a natural disaster or a medical emergency, you know, something of that size, you really should not be touching this pot. And the risks are exactly like you've described. You know, it is taxed as personal income. Mm-hmm. And in some situations, that can push you into a new tax bracket. Mm-hmm. It'll be taxed at your marginal rate. But the bigger issues in the long term is it reduces your long term growth. So you'll have less at retirement. And also, you may not have enough time to catch up, you know, to replace that money over time. So, you know, when you reach retirement, you won't have enough money to retire.
Yeah, you might look at 30,000 today, but of course, it's going to be a lot more in, I don't know, 30 years time. Is industry ready? Or maybe you can't speak for industry, in which case it's 10X, because this has been a long time coming, but it is not as simple as it sounds, I suspect, from an outsider such as myself.
Yeah, I mean, the government have been talking about this for a while, so the industry has known about it, and we have, you know, tried to prepare as much as we can in advance, but it has been, you know, a while, and the regulations have only just been signed. So from a 10X perspective, we're ready, or as mm-hmm. ready as you can be, mm-hmm. But the whole industry will be dependent on, you know, the systems and the people and the processes being ready. And also the interaction with SARS for the tax directives to be ready. So there are definitely some risks.
And is it is it a case of on the 1st of September, I can apply to my pension fund for a withdrawal of up to 30,000, or does that only kick in at a later date?
So what will happen is on the 1st of September, the pension company will do that one-off exercise to mm-hmm. take the 30,000 rand or up to a maximum of 30,000 yeah. rand. It can only be 10% of your current value. They will move that into the savings pot. And yes, technically it does become available for withdrawal. Each company will have a different process. So, you know, in terms of the process you go through and the time that will take, mm-hmm. That will be different for each company. But as I say, you know, it really is not recommended to withdraw that money unless you really need to.
Yeah, I will stress that. Unless you really, really need to. This is not a holiday in Zanzibar. This is a medical emergency or something like that. We'll leave that there. Karan Naylor Wren, 10X Investment COO. Appreciate the early morning time. And that is our question on LinkedIn and Twitter. Will you be drawing from your savings when it becomes available on the 1st of September? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Lebo Khakatsi. He's head of marketing and communications at WesBank. Lebo, appreciate the time today. New vehicle sales, which was obviously for the month of May, down 14.2%. This after we saw a slight increase in April. It went up 2.2%. A bit of a nasty number, but in many senses, I think probably not a big surprise to industry.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. And yeah, thank you to the listeners for tuning in. I mean, as you rightly said, there was a blip of hope in April. And, you know, the decrease can be the 14.2% decline can be assimilated to people hanging on the sides, you know, while they were waiting to go on the polls. And of course, there is the after effect of the elections, which spills over for the rest of June. But we are anticipating a bit of an uptick in the second half of the year. Let's get some reprieve in as far as the petrol price is concerned and the ongoing prayer that our lights stay on. You know, we don't remain load shed, you know, as we've not been for a while, which will, of course, also boost economic activity and consumer confidence all around.
Yeah, I suppose it is also confidence because in many cases, I mean, most people buying a car already, they've got a car. They're looking to get a new car. Perhaps they're upgrading. Maybe they're downgrading. But it does take some confidence in that regard. Are you seeing less applications coming in or applications coming in, people just struggling to get vehicle asset financing?
Interestingly, you know, in our business, applications are always an indicator of confidence. So spot on right there. And they've always been on the increase, you know, because people always want to test appetite, whether they can afford or not. But I mean, most recently, they've declined by double digits. This is for new vehicles. Yeah. Of course, for used vehicles and your demos, you know, those remain stronger. But then again, you know, in an environment where applications decrease, it shows how that demand has weakened and how the confidence has slightly decreased. And I do put that on the back of the polls. And we hope that it will change soon, yeah.
You mentioned a hope for an improved second half. Certainly, we've got petrol prices down. We've got, I mean, load shedding is still abating, although winter has arrived. So we might start. The minister has said we might get some stage two load shedding for winter. But also interest rates. I mean, that must be the biggie, is that as rates start to come down, just not only my affordability, but the pressure on my broader budget also sort of lessens.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, interest rates govern everything that we do, you know, food price inflation, vehicle inflation, you name it. So when they do start taking the turn and going down, there's two things that happen. You know, people become confident because, of course, their disposable income increases. They can afford more. They can breathe better, literally. Yeah. So that we will see that appetite again in applications. We will see that appetite in an increase in vehicle sales, particularly because now the market is also filled with options for consumers when it comes to passenger vehicles, you know, that come with really value-packed stuff, but at a very accessible pricing point compared to how it would have been pre-COVID, as an example.
That's a good point. I mean, I chat with CMH from time to time. They've got the Suzukis, but it's wider than that. There's a lot of the Chinese vehicles coming in, and even I've seen some Chinese EVs that are coming in under 500,000. There is a lot of bang for buck you can get these days, which, as you say, we probably couldn't have got pre-pandemic.
Absolutely. And I mean, for the South African consumer, that exactly answers, you know, where we are from a market point of view. Because yes, people, you know, downgrade from the high-end luxury stuff, but you still want a bigger car, you know, that you can afford.
Yeah.
You still want all the tech that you are used to. So those Chinese brands really offer all of that, the value pack in one shot that is accessible, that really is your music to South African consumers' ears at this point in time.
Yeah, we are seeing some really, really good value coming in. And I think that's going to be a big driver when we start to see those interest rates coming down. We'll leave it there. Lebo Khakatsi, he's head of marketing communications at WesBank. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. I was chatting with Mteta Tulari from RMB yesterday around the rand, which is bouncing all over the place. But as coalition talks are ongoing or to be starting, who knows? But, you know, the rand's always bouncing. We asked you, would a centralist government see the rand stronger? Over half of you said, yeah, it would be good for the currency. A quarter said, sure, but only in the short term. The rest said, nah, it's going to weaken anyways, regardless of coalition outcomes. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive review and rating in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow for Keeley results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.